You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 360, and hopefully this is the week where we see the complete turnaround of this Irish team, a 360-degree turnaround from where they have been. Started with Army. Hopefully they can keep on turning things around now against a traditional team like Virginia Tech. Lots of very positive things about this Virginia Tech team. However, there are some issues with this team as well. We're going to get to all of those, including who they are and what do they do well, and then how to stop them and how to beat Virginia Tech. Brian Kelly had a press conference on Tuesday. There was a few interesting things of note in there, including a little more information on Notre Dame scripting plays. And then we'll go through the different position groups and point out some things that we're going to be keeping an eye on for this game. So, Randall's joining me, and anything, Randall, you want to say before we jump into this?
Well, I will say I am feeling a little more confident about this game than I have basically all year. So far, up to this point, I had just chalked this up as a loss. Well, once the season started. But I'm definitely feeling a little more confident going into this game.
Okay.
And I'll just say now, this is senior day, and I think one of the comments, Brian Kelly, he was asked, you know, if, forget how it was asked, but, you know, is this a tearful day for the players, and how do you handle it? And he said that he's crying because this could be Jalen Smith, Will Fuller, Ronnie Stanley, Kavari Russell. This could be their senior day.
I am crying too.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech, they're a lot like Miami defensively. They are great at creating negative plays like Miami was. And I think Notre Dame has to kind of approach this game similarly how they did Miami. Overall, just comparing some numbers here, Virginia Tech scores a few more points per game than Notre Dame. They score 33, Notre Dame's at 31. They give up several fewer points than Notre Dame. They give up about 21, and Notre Dame's at 25.5. Yards that each team moves the ball is pretty close. Both are around 250 passing, and Virginia Tech is at 186 rushing, Notre Dame's at 160. And Notre Dame did have a really good, strong rushing attack against Army. It was against Army, but maybe that is something they can build on with Harrell being in the starting lineup. Maybe that helps some. Helps them play more united and more sound. And then Virginia Tech, they give up 185 passing yards, very close to where Notre Dame's at, and they give up 144 rushing yards, whereas Notre Dame is averaging 183 yards rushing.
It is impressive how close all of these numbers, except for the rushing yards allowed, that's about 40 yards difference, but all the others are basically within a couple
within about 20 yards.
Yeah,
and some of them are a lot closer than that.
But that's, you wouldn't expect that looking at their record. Virginia Tech 7-3, Notre Dame's 4-6.
I know, and we're going to talk about why has Virginia Tech fallen in a couple of those games. But one thing, when I was looking at their leading passer, their leading rusher, and I was surprised because I looked at their Evans, our quarterback, comparing him to Kaiser. Evans has passed for 2,500 yards. Kaiser is just a few under that, very similar. They've both passed for 22 touchdowns, but Evans has only thrown 4 picks and Kaiser's thrown 8. Then I was looking at their leading rusher, and we've got Josh Adams with 128 carries and 650 yards and 3 touchdowns. And their running back, Evans, had the same name as their quarterback, is what I thought at first, but it is the same gentleman. He's their leading rusher. 600 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns.
He's only 50 yards away behind Josh Adams, and he has 3 more touchdowns rushing. But
Deshaun Kaiser also has 440 rushing yards this season, and he's rushed for over 50 yards in Texas, Duke, Stanford, Navy, and then Army.
So what was the most he's had this year?
80. He had 83 against Stanford, then 77 against Texas, 72 against Army.
Okay, one comment from a Virginia Tech guy was that if the opposing quarterback rushes for more than 100 yards in a game, Virginia Tech loses, which usually if an opposing quarterback does rush for that many, you are losing.
You don't, I mean, it's definitely an indicator that he scored a couple touchdowns probably on
yeah.
the ground.
I mean, that any team that gives up 100 yards to the opposing quarterback yeah. is going to lose, but that is one thing that sticks out in these losses. The losses that Virginia Tech has, the quarterback usually has 100 rushing yards.
Really?
So that is...
Well, and the thing is, but their quarterback is also very good at rushing, and he's rushed for 50 or within a few yards of 50 against their opener, against Boston College, North Carolina, Miami he had 98, against Duke he had 83, against Georgia Tech he had 75. Now, against a few of those, it was actually a few yards under 50. It was 46, 48, 49. But well, he had about six games, half of their games, where he's rushed for 50 or more yards.
Well, when they played Tennessee, their loss to Tennessee, quarterback had 106 yards.
But that was because he couldn't throw the ball.
Well, true, but no. He still rushed for over 100. Syracuse quarterback rushed for 106 against them. And then Georgia Tech's quarterback had, well, it wasn't the quarterback. Let me see. Shucks. Pushed the wrong thing here. But yeah, I know he scored like rushing 121.
121 yards.
Yeah. So three losses, they've all rushed for over 100 yards.
Well,
and it might be the type of quarterback too, but that is one thing that sticks out and that Virginia Tech coaches know about. It's been brought up in their press conference. I mean, the coach has been asked about it. And so, yeah, maybe Kaiser can try to do that this weekend.
Let's stay on that note then about how do you beat Virginia Tech. And I read a kind of like a media notes for Virginia Tech. And one of the things that stood out the most was that to beat Virginia Tech, you do it in the first half by scoring more points, pretty much. I'm just trying to find this here.
Well, along with that, they do they start slow. That's one complaint with the Virginia Tech team is that they start slow on offense. And on a lot of their first drives of the game, they go three and out. They do it more often than not. And that's something that Notre Dame, you know, that we've complained about in years past is a slow start, but this year Notre Dame has kind of turned that around and has been able to score right away.
And here I have that. Virginia Tech, in their seven wins, they've outscored their opponents in the first half 166 to 107. And I'm not sure what it was in their losses, but in their losses they were being outscored. Notre Dame in their wins in the first half, they're 116 and 30, so the defense has really stepped up in their wins in the first half, holding teams down, and then in the losses, Notre Dame has been outscored 81 to 69. So, and I think this is an edge to Notre Dame because they have been doing a better job scoring early. I mean, I know
returning kickoffs for touchdowns always helps.
It does, and I know it was against Army and Navy where Notre Dame has been scoring on virtually every possession they get. That's not going to be the case against Virginia Tech because they do have a strong defense.
Yeah, and along with starting fast, if Notre Dame has the option on what they want to do in the first drive, they will take the ball. I mean, there's no question that you need to score right away on this team.
The Hokies are phenomenal, similar to Miami in tackles for loss. And since 96, when Virginia Tech is playing at an opponent, they are 14-0 when they record three or more sacks. And Notre Dame this season is 0-4 when allowing three or more sacks. So it's essential for Deshaun Kizer to not throw the ball away, get some quick completions, but to not take sacks that gets us out of bad down and distance situation, that puts us in bad down and distance situations. And that has been a point of emphasis, thankfully, leading up to the Miami game, and kind of ever since that, he's been talking about staying ahead of the sticks. And I definitely think this is another game where, while we might be begging for some deep shots downfield, and I do think that Notre Dame needs to take some, but they probably need to do it out of play action and maybe with an extra blocker, two tight ends set to give time for the receivers to get downfield and get open.
Yeah, Brian Kelly mentioned that the defensive backs are the strong point of this team, Virginia Tech team, so you won't see as many of those deep shots, I don't think. Well, who knows what the coaches actually decide, but as far as the pass rush, Woody Barron, their defensive tackle, last week against Georgia Tech, he had 3 tackles for loss, and he's had 11 in the last 4 games.
Wow.
So him and Jerron Jones are definitely going to be competing to see who can get the most tackles for loss in this game.
And he is 5th in the country with tackles for loss.
Okay.
So not just on leading their team, but in the country, someone to watch out for. And overall, Miami is, they're tied for 6th with tackles for loss per game at 8.2, and Miami was just ahead of them. I think Miami had averaged 9 per game. And Notre Dame did a great job of only giving up, I think it was only, was it only 2 tackles for loss that Miami had against Notre Dame?
It had
to be more than that, but it was far less than expected, and Notre Dame defensively actually picked up quite a few more tackles for loss.
Yeah, and the one concerning thing with this is that they're one of the best teams. Brian Kelly mentioned that Virginia Tech is one of the best teams on third down. Their defense on third down is phenomenal, and Notre Dame's offense has struggled on third down in games this year. They did good last week. They've had a couple good weeks, but that has been one area that they've struggled in lately is their third down conversion. And so that's definitely going to be the one thing to watch in this game on who wins the third down conversion battle.
But I do agree with you. Overall, I do think it's going to be a close game, but I'm a little bit more optimistic that Notre Dame can win this game.
But downside of all that, I wish Virginia Tech would have won last week.
I do too.
Because I think it's always bad when they were having a good season, they get a bad loss. They played terrible against Georgia Tech. They had so many turnovers, penalties. Things that Notre Dame has had issues with. It was just everything seemed to go wrong for them against Georgia Tech, and so it's hard to see that happen twice, 2 weeks in a row. And so I think this will definitely be a rebound game for them, and that's what's the scary part.
One area that Notre Dame has done pretty well this season is red zone scoring, a big improvement from last year. The Hokies rank 3rd in the ACC in red zone defense. They allow a scoring percentage of 75.9%, which is behind Clemson and Wake Forest. I'm not sure where that ranks in the country, but this is a solid team. And for me, there's no question this comes down to Notre Dame's offense needs to play well to win this game. I don't think it's going to be a kind of 10-14 kind of game where Notre Dame can hold this. Where Notre Dame defensively can hold Virginia Tech to very few points. I do think they can hold them to mid-20s, maybe even lower 20s, but the offense is going to need to have a great game to win on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Talking about the offense, Brian Kelly was asking his press conference about, you know, if they have a set amount of plays to start the game. And he said they have 20 plays that they use to start the game, and they stay with that unless, you know, the down and distance does change. You know, there's some third down stuff that they do change, but other than that, they do have some set plays to start out the game. So that's always been kind of a question. Everybody's suspected that, but we haven't actually heard it from Brian Kelly.
And Brian Kelly was asked what they did to get acclimated to going back to more of a traditional offense. And this week they're going more against the defensive ones versus the offensive ones. So going against Notre Dame's offense more than normal versus going against the scout team. Okay.
Jerron Jones is excited about that. His Instagram post earlier this week, I think it was on Monday, he was like, time to play some real football, beat Virginia Tech. So whatever has happened with Jerron Jones in the last two games, he's ready to play real football this week.
Hey, and if
and he'd better have a big game.
If he comes out and has a game like he did against Miami, all is forgiven.
If Notre Dame wins.
We do have a new article over on the website by Solon. Notre Dame, can they get their did they get their confidence boost back? You can head on over there and read that. And definitely Solon. Always, he told me that he does enjoy feedback, even if it's, you know, a critique, maybe you disagree. Head on over to the forums and you can leave a comment over there. And the forums URL is forums.irishsportstalk.net. There's a couple guys always going back and forth over there, and you can join the discussion as well. Maybe you're living in a part of the country where you don't have Notre Dame fans to discuss Notre Dame football with, and this is a place where you can do that. All right, going through the different position groups, let's start on defense, defensive line. Daniel Cage is a daily check as far as him coming back from that concussion. And although Brian Kelly didn't rule out that he'd play on Saturday, I don't think he's going to be playing on Saturday. It just sounded, because he still hadn't practiced as of the press conference on Tuesday, and it was basically, he needs to get to the point where he feels good, and then they would, yeah, go through getting him back into the practice. But definitely don't expect him to be there, to be playing on Saturday. Jerron Jones, what can you expect from him? He has played the last 2 weeks, but sparingly, and what looks like or sounds like maybe a little begrudgingly. I expect him to have a big game.
Are you predicting any crazy stats from him?
Well, he has an interception, right? He's had a couple block kicks, a handful of TFLs. I don't think he'll get another interception, but I do think he will definitely get a sack. I don't know about forcing a fumble or anything, but I think he'll hammer the quarterback for a loss.
They could fumble. They fumbled a couple times against Georgia Tech, so it would be nice to have a forced fumble that goes Notre Dame's way, and if it comes from anybody, it's going to be Jerron Jones.
Instead of these last few weeks where it's just bounced right into the academy player's arms.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so Jerron Jones is definitely someone I'm going to be keeping an eye on. From the linebackers, Brian Kelly was asked if Greer Martini showed anything these last 2 weeks that might get him to play more against just kind of in Notre Dame's more normal defense. And although Brian Kelly was impressed, he's not the starter. It's going to be Niles, Anualu, and Tavon Coney. But I'm sure Greer will definitely continue. I mean, he has been playing. It's not like he hasn't played the weeks leading up to the academies.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to be watching how much he actually plays, because I think kind of the same thing happened last year. He had big games against the triple option team, Georgia Tech and Navy, but then, you know, we didn't see as much from him the rest of the year. But I know people want to see him out there just because of the big plays he made the last 2 weeks, but I guess, yeah, I don't expect him to be out there then. I think he'll be less than what people expect. But it'll be interesting to see how the coaches use him after two good weeks.
It is senior day, so I'm going to be making picks for seniors if at all possible. So James Anualu has had a stellar senior season. This is going to be his last game at Notre Dame. And I hope he can have a great game, and hopefully the team can get a win out of this one. Was there any player or something in particular you're going to be keeping an eye on?
Well, I'll go with Greer Martini for the linebacker.
And then at cornerback, obviously Julian Love has really been impressing us lately. He's been moving around, and there definitely is some there's definitely some talk about if there's too many cornerbacks, moving him to safety for next year. I'm not saying from the coaching staff, but from fans. He's not going to be there on Saturday. He's going to be a cornerback, and Devin Studstill will finally be playing again too. But as far as cornerbacks, Cole Luke, senior, last game at Notre Dame Stadium, and he's been a very sound tackler. We kind of talked about the last few weeks.
He's definitely improved.
And I'm going to pick him to get a pick against Virginia Tech
senior day.
Yeah, in their losses, they have, I believe, 4 touchdown passes and 3 picks. And in their wins, they're 19 touchdowns to 1 pick.
Oh, wow.
So, and in one of their losses against Tennessee, I don't believe they threw a pick. So it is possible to beat them without a pick, but definitely a pick helps.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Julian Love. He's a fun player to watch, how physical he is. And, you know, that he's so young. The thing everybody's so excited about these young guys, but the one thing I keep going back to is that Notre Dame's had a lot of young guys there, and what happened to all of them?
Well, you said that, and well, I kind of agree. Who are the young guys that you're talking about?
Well, it would have been, last year we finally had, you know, returning starters. It would have been in 2014. We played a lot of young guys on defense. And it's guys that, you know, Cole Luke would have been one. It's guys that have, but what I'm saying is something has happened in the program that we have to play these young guys. And so something's got to change if we expect these young guys to be here and be playing good in 3 or 4 years from now.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
And I agree. However, if it means that if the reason that's not happening is because these players are going on to the NFL, then I love it and I want more of it.
Yeah, they did lose a lot of guys this last year, and a lot of them went to the NFL. But has been an issue, yeah, like this year, of not having upperclassmen that can get on the field. And so these young guys have to play, and they're doing a very good job.
And maybe like the best example, but worst situation is maybe on the defensive line, where we do have Jaron Jones and Isaac Rochelle, but there are guys like Dalen Hayes is needing to play, and Jay Hayes and some of these other guys who've been there for a couple of years haven't emerged ahead of like a Trimbetti who's in his second year. He is a junior. Trimbetti, he played in 2014, I believe.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not as good of an example as I thought it was.
I hope everything turns around, and I think, you know, Julian Love will be a great player. I'm just saying there has been enough stuff happens at Notre Dame, players getting dismissed, suspended, transfer, and there's just so much drama that happens at Notre Dame, and they got to fix something if these young guys are going to be around in 3 years. So I guess they're really going to be 2 years, but yeah, no, I want to see what Julian Love does this week, if he can continue his strong play, which I think he will. There's no reason that he shouldn't.
He'll
definitely have to play in more coverage this year. I mean, he's not trying to stop the run.
Yeah.
So
is he the biggest surprise, do you think, from this freshman class? I mean, Steverson is also, I'd say, a pretty big surprise.
Yeah, but we kind of expected that from him.
But not this much. I mean, I expected him to have a couple touchdowns.
Well, but before, when we did our fall,
our midway point,
when we talked about Fred, I didn't think Stefan would be. I was trying to slow down the hype train.
Yeah.
But now at the end of the season,
we weren't even talking about.
So I would say Julian Love is way ahead of Stefferson as far as the surprise.
I agree. Okay, safeties. Devin Studstill did not play last week against Army. Will his confidence be shaken? Will there be a fire in his belly to make sure he's out there next year versus the option teams? What is his response going to be to not playing versus Army? I'm going to keep an eye on him. I think he's going to respond great. I hope he plays a lot and that we don't overplay to getting Avery Sebastian out there, or maybe some other senior that, which Brian Kelly hasn't really done that. I don't think he has.
No, and I'd say more of the reason that Stutzel didn't play as much last week is because of the type of offense. It wasn't that he was struggling.
I know, but he still, if he would have, I mean, there's no reason why Julian Love wasn't even playing safety at all, so why was he a better fit than what Stutzel was? I'm just saying there's a chance that he might be, there might be a fire in his belly.
Well, I'm going to be watching Tranquil. He's been doing much better. He's stepped up his game. I'd say, obviously, playing against triple option would be, he's more suited for that, more in-the-box type guy trying to stop the run. So this is going to be a big test for him. And these safeties are going to get tested in this game.
Early in the season, I mean, remember, Drew Tranquil, he got burned for some touchdowns. Now, that hasn't happened the last few weeks, but watch out.
The good thing is Virginia Tech
I completely agree.
Doesn't throw deep a lot. I mean, they haven't been that good at throwing it deep. But this is definitely, and it's, you got to factor in the thing that they've been playing triple option teams the last 2 weeks. So it's not just going from normal offense. All of a sudden they're going from a team that just runs to a team that basically just passes outside the quarterback running. They are a one-dimensional team right now. So this will be a big test for them. Especially switching from the type of offense they've been playing the last 2 weeks. So I'll definitely keep my eye out on Tranquil, see how he does, because he has been playing very well, tackling much better, and see if he can keep that going.
Let's do special teams before we head on over to the offense, and pick one player from special teams to watch out for. To me, it is Justin Yoon, because I think this is going to be a close game, and we need every extra point, and we, more importantly, need every field goal that we kick. Weather conditions for the game, I don't know about wind, but it's going to be cold.
It's a chance of snow, or they said early in the week. I haven't checked lately, but
this shows how dedicated I am. I was planning on going to the game until I saw what the weather was going to be like.
And you changed your mind?
Yes.
Ruben. Special teams, I'm going with CJ Sanders. He's still returning kickoffs, and even though totally blanking right now, number 10 Fink has been doing good on punts, it's just not that you don't expect him to return one for a touchdown like you do when Sanders touches the ball.
If we score a touchdown on special teams, I mean, we'll definitely win this game. Like, it's that close. Something like that, a big play like that can win the game.
I'm not at that point saying that. Maybe by the time we do our score predictions, I will be. But at this point, Virginia Tech, I'm not sure what my score prediction will be. I'll say that. But Virginia Tech is coming off a loss, and they're going to – it's still Notre Dame they're playing. They always – every team plays their best against Notre Dame.
It's either that or Notre Dame is just never quite as good as what we think.
Let's not go there. Let's just
– offensive line. Mark Harrell is going to be starting again.
Well, he's listed as it's or.
I did see that, but I think he's going to be starting.
Okay.
And yes, I'll pick McGlinchey. McGlinchey is also a senior; he could be leaving. McGlinchey continues to have false starts. Again, I just want to see one game where he is flag free, and solid in pass defense and consistent in run blocking. But especially, which I think he has been for the most part there, but just a flag-free game.
Yeah, I agree. I'll be watching Mustafer just because he did. I mean, he's fine, good to go, but he did get banged up a little bit there at the end of the Army game. So just see if that hinders him at all and not make any mistakes. It seems there's always something. Even last week there was a weird snap. Just see if he can play a mistake-free game as well.
All right, and the tight ends really been coming on strong lately. Three touchdowns out of the last two games. Not a whole lot of catches. I believe last week there was three catches for maybe 40 some yards. But still, they're any production is marked and drastic improvement. Yeah. So we're at that point where now there has been some consistent production the last few weeks. Do you think it continues?
Yeah, I'm going with another touchdown from Smythe.
Man, I would love to. He is a senior, right?
Yeah, I believe he'd have another year of eligibility.
I believe he is a senior. I just don't think he gets a touchdown, but he's definitely, I mean, the primary guy. I mean,
he won't be as open as he was last week. Let's say that.
I mean, Smythe plays quite a bit, or Wisher plays quite a bit as well, but I think Smythe will continue to get most of the attention, especially with it being senior day. I think they will give him the nod there if all things being equal.
Smythe, he is a senior, but he could come back as a fifth year.
All right, running backs. Tarian Folston is the only senior out of that group, and I do think this is one situation where, while I still think Folston will get the majority of the work, while Adams will get the majority of the work, I do think that Folston, because it is senior day and there's not a huge drop-off in ability and talent, that Folston will get more attention. He did get quite a bit of carries last week, but it was really in junk time. I think he'll get some more attention while the game's still in reach, assuming there will be junk time, which I don't think there will be.
I don't think there will be, but I think Folston will still get quite a few carries.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
Regardless of junk time, I think he's going to get quite a few carries.
Yeah. He proved last week that he's still a very good runner inside.
And
I wish they would just balance it out a little more.
Dexter Williams, he got one carry and it was on jet sweep last week. He needs to get more involved, so definitely
he's not going to this week.
Well,
that's my prediction.
I think you're probably right, but I want to see him get more involved. All right, wide receivers.
Well, this could be Torrey Hunter's last game.
Like
Brian Kelly mentioned, he was drafted in baseball, so you know, you can always go that route.
I've kind of felt for a while that it will be his last game. He got married this fall.
What, 2 weeks ago? No, during the bye week is when he got married.
And even though, I mean, I think he's a better athlete than TJ Jones. Not sure if he's a better receiver. I don't think he is a better receiver at this point than TJ Jones. But he would have a shot at playing the NFL. But I just don't know if that's
what he wants to do.
Yeah, it isn't clear to me that's what he wants to do. And so I don't really expect to see him back either. I do think this is probably his last game.
I'm not sure. I think I kind of agree with you just because his production hasn't been what we expected. And so it is harder to come back. It'd be easier to make the decision to play baseball when, you know, it seems like you have more success there when you haven't had huge numbers at a receiver. But it is his first full year of starting. But in the last two games, I mean, he's stepped up. Well, I mean, obviously he didn't play against Army, but he has stepped it up. So, you know, if that continues for the next two games, I think he will come back. I think he just needs to see that he can, or he needs to have confidence in himself that he can do that, have, you know, big games, game in and game out.
I wonder what his biggest aspiration is as a football player. Is it to win a championship at Notre Dame? Is it to play in the NFL? Because, it would have to be one of those two things, aside from graduating, which I'm assuming he's on track to do later this school year. Okay. Quarterback.
Oh, but the guy I'm going to be watching.
Oh, I thought that was Taylor.
Yeah, Hunter. Just come back. You know, he was out. I don't think he was injured. They just didn't need him the last week. And so just to be safe, you don't want to mess up that knee. So see what he can do this week.
And then DeShone Kizer.
That's who you're going with for quarterback?
Well, it was a toss-up.
I figured you might pick Wimbush.
I'm afraid this will also be DeShone Kizer's last game at Notre Dame Stadium.
I, I would have to agree with you.
What I'm going to be looking for, I thought he, for the most part, played a lot better against Army. But this is going to be a much tougher defense than he's faced, more like Miami. They're going to come after him, try to hit him, try to get him rattled. He needs to do a good job in his pre-snap reads, trying to see where the pressure is going to come from, and getting rid of the ball quickly so that we don't get in third and long situations, or even maybe a gain on first down, and then we're back to second and 10 after a loss. Again, if Navy, sorry, if, what was it? Since, well, the stat I read up earlier about if Virginia Tech gets three sacks, they're 14-1 or 14-0 or something like that. Since 96 when they're on the road, and Notre Dame this season has been 0-4 when they give up three sacks. So definitely cannot give up sacks. And even in the running game, we have to be getting to the line of scrimmage or getting some positive yards. Hopefully, I hope we'll see some new creativity from the offense as a whole, kind of like we did versus Miami. There were some new plays that we haven't seen this year.
Got to be careful with those against Virginia Tech, though.
Well, I think we need something. We need something new that they haven't seen, that they don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Even remember that running play where it looked like it was a broken play? It looked like it was inside zone. I think it looked like an inside zone, and then it ended up kind of being a option play. And so we need something like that, something different, unique, but it needs to be executed.
You know what we haven't seen in a while? Torrey Hunter throw a pass. Beginning of the year, was it two games in a row that he tried that?
Oh, man, I can't remember.
Forgot about that, but they have tried that, and we have not seen it in a while.
They tried it last year a couple times, too.
Yeah. Maybe this is the game they tried.
I bet it is. Torrey Hunter is a senior. I bet we'll see Torrey Hunter throw the football.
I think it's too risky. I don't think we will.
Although, we did see Malik Zaire come in on a sweep or something.
I'm hoping that Kaiser gained a little more confidence after last week's game. But the big thing is he needs to be okay with short gains. I don't think they're going to have a lot of success going deep. You know, they might try it, but he needs to be okay with the short gains over the middle. He needs to make the passes to his right side, the screen passes. He's got to make those.
Which he did do much better. He missed one awfully. But he did do a much better job last week.
But he can't try to do too much. He has to be okay with, you know, 4 yards, 5 yards, and just methodically take the ball down the field. Instead of trying to make the big play and, you know, making it worse, getting sacked. So that's what I want to watch, is if he's okay with these shorter gains.
All right. Later this week, we'll have our score predictions episode, as well as our opponents podcast, where we look at Notre Dame's opponents, who they've played, who they will be playing. And the season is almost over. And if Notre Dame doesn't win on Saturday, it will be even closer to being over. Because even I forget if it was another podcast or I read it somewhere, but if Notre Dame is 5-7, there's not a guarantee they're going to be getting to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you guys for listening. If you do enjoy Irish Sports Talk, please leave us a review over on the iTunes Store, or tell, if not that, then just tell one of your friends about us. And if you want to join the conversation, if you want to leave a comment for Solon about his article, head on over to the forums, which is forums.irishsportstalk.net. You can sign up, it's free, and we enjoy having conversations going on over there. So, until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.